one family that we go to see as we turn up at the door, and if the young people are there, particularly during the holidays, they'll go, hello Alison, yeah, oh, we've got food, and they come and they're so excited to see what food we're bringing them, because we do take them some treats as well as the fresh food, the long life food and the vegetables and the fruit. We do have sometimes very kindly through Fair Share, you know, we'll have, say, some crisps or some cake or something like that, but the kids are just so excited to see us.
That's Alison Harding, the vicar of Newburn Parish, discussing the work that she and her colleague Jacqueline Atkinson do to provide food to people in need in Newburn and in the parish of Holy Spirit Denton. Here I will discuss some of this work and some of the questions that it raises, and follow them on a day when they are supplying food. As I'm married to Alison, I can start by packing up the car with the food that's been delivered to the vicarage.
So the first task of the day is to get this very heavy box of food that someone's kindly, generously donated, and to get it put into the car.
So there we go. Oh, let's hope there's a space in the car for it. All right, in like that.
Yeah, yeah. Because we need to push the back to get the brain in.
This work starts in 2020, when Jacqueline and Alison take part in a programme called the Summer of Change. During the school holidays, outdoor activities are provided for children and food is delivered to those families identified as being in need. One day of food deliveries makes a lasting impression on both Alison and Jacqueline.
One day we had a minibus that we got from a local school, and we were loading up the minibus in the middle of the community with bags of food to take out. And what we had to do was take some of the bags off the minibus in order to go and get some more food to be delivered to put into food parcels. So the bags were out on the grass when the kids were out playing games.
Word got round that somebody was on the field and they had food parcels, and there was a queue formed to ask if we, you know, they had a spare food parcel. And that made us really think about, you know, afterwards when we sort of did the review of the week, it made us think about, you know, there is people who really need help with food.
The hidden need that has been revealed leads to some searching further questions, with Jacqueline and Alison asking schools about families they are aware of who are struggling to feed their children.
And we just got so many addresses and names to be able, that wouldn't, you know, need to have that help, that we just started to think, well, right, this is something else we have to do.
Of course, identifying the need raises the difficulty of how further provision can be resourced.
I wrote an article for the Link newspaper, which is the Newcastle Diocese Church of England newspaper, and I asked the question of, here was this hunger, here was this need, how can we meet that need when we don't have the resources? Because for the Summer of Change, the resource had come from the local authority. They had funded that. We give all of our time free, but they had given us the food.
The generosity of the response is a huge surprise.
A very, very, very generous person contacted me, who I'd known in the past, hadn't been in contact with for quite some time, but had known and read the article and gave us some money, a significant amount of money, £5,000, to say that we could use that money in whatever we wanted with young people and families and food, which just blew us away, absolutely blew us away.
And God provides for this work in other ways too. My colleagues at Northumbria University donate generously, and there are numerous other sources of support.
We're also in contact with other churches, so like Ponteland gives us food regularly. We get food from the Methodist Church at Leamington. We get food from Cramlington when they have excess food. They contact us. We've had food from the People's Kitchen. People were just putting money through my door. People were contacting me and saying, can I drop some money off? And then I was getting anonymous money just put through the door for our food programme.
Each Tuesday, the heart of the operation is the church hall in Denton, where bread donated by Warburtons, food bought at low cost from Fair Share, parcels given by the Newcastle West End Food Bank, and all the individual donations are brought together. Some people come to collect food in the hall and to have a cup of coffee and a chat, while others will have the food delivered to them. Managing the supplies is a skilled task, as I discover.
Yeah, I'll stick it with my up the top pile. I'll take this along because this back box is full anyway.
And you could bring a couple of boxes of cereal down.
Right, sure.
Just for next time. So
I've got to set a couple of boxes up and I'm bringing
yes, it. Yes, because the dates.
Right, I've got it.
It's no good giving people the fresh stuff today when we've got stuff from other weeks.
Having a new volunteer presents challenges to Alison and Jacqueline.
Oh, Jamie's just putting the name there.
Please go in there,
sorry. Jamie, we need to train you.
I'm just an investigative journalist, but the same as helping.
Everything has a place, Jamie.
Right, it's a bit like life, really.
Yeah.
The day started with supplies of some foods looking alarmingly low. But once everything is sorted out, it's clear there'll be enough to deliver full parcels to all the families who need them.
Oh, it's looking well stocked again.
God does provide.
This pattern of food provision developing as a response to needs is one that has been seen in churches, individuals and community groups. Jane Brough of Northumbria University has observed it frequently in her research and volunteering in the Tyneside area.
Food Bank I volunteered in South Shields was Hospitality and Hope Food Bank, an independent food bank set up by a person, and it was in response to seeing homeless people hungry, and she started off with a van and just used to make some hot soup and just used to drive around the borough and offer hot soup to people who she might see.
Catherine McKinnell, the local Labour MP, is aware of a very large number of volunteers working to relieve food poverty in her Newcastle North constituency.
We just have an army of voluntary organisations and volunteers that are supporting people in their local communities. Everywhere I go, every community centre you visit, there's a room where they're collecting, where they're sorting donations, where they're making up food parcels. Chapel, Denton and Westerhope Food Bank was created, and that's supporting communities across the Outer West. I know there's lots of small food banks everywhere in community centres at the Grange, in Throckley, Fordham Community Centre, North Kenton Community Centre, Garlerfield and Newbiggin Hall, and in the villages out in Dinnington, Hazelrigg and Brunswick.
Churches have historically been at the forefront of meeting need in this way. The name of many of the organisations that were providers of food and shelter in the Victorian era, such as the Salvation Army and the Young Men's Christian Association, demonstrate their Christian origins. The biblical basis of such provision is clear.
Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was ill, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me."
A more difficult question, and one that we'll return to, is whether churches and other organisations should still be playing this role at a time when average living standards are infinitely higher than those of the 19th century. However, it is important to note that many volunteers and voluntary organisations do more than simply meeting physical needs. The West End Food Bank, which supports Alison and Jacqueline's work by giving food parcels, is one of the largest in the UK and provides a wide range of services, as Jane Brough describes.
Just before the pandemic in March 2020, the West End Food Bank appointed a Pathways manager, and that's sometimes you say, you know, they've been referred to as a Pathways to a Better Life or Pathways Out of Poverty manager, and she has an incredibly broad remit for working with service users and working on their issues with them and trying to help them out of the situation they're in.
One of the Pathways team comes to Denton Church Hall to offer advice to those who are collecting food. But Alison and Jacqueline often find that there are other forms of support that they can provide to one group of people in particular.
the mothers who are carrying so, so much of, you know, not being able to feed their children, not being able to heat their homes, but other things that are going on within their family life as well. People who have significant mental health issues, being able just to be there, be a smiley face and say hello, but also be able to be there to listen and just say we're here. We can, you know, anything that we can do, and they have our numbers and they can contact us if they need us.
This simple form of service can have a significant impact.
Years have come and there'll be a huge issue going on in their life, a huge issue that they can share with you, that they can just say, and that's on the doorstep, they can share, and you can just say, well, I'll give you a hug, and that's something that happens, and obviously not earlier on in COVID, but recently being able to give hugs and say to people, we can... Can I pray for you? And they just cry and say, yes, please, and stand on the doorstep and pray.
This is the type of service that Catherine McKinnell believes should be the focus of the church's work in the community.
That support has often been from an emotional perspective, from a community friendship perspective, from a mental health perspective. But increasingly, it's becoming a very fundamental providing food service that churches are doing. And I honestly think it's amazing that churches are doing that and they're providing that real nourishment that is really at the heart of the Christian message and to their local communities. But for churches to actually now be providing food to local communities is really, really worrying.
Jane Brust's research shows that food bank volunteers are asking similar questions as to why so many people are having to rely on voluntary provision for food.
We had all those conversations and very detailed, lengthy conversations. And some volunteers were clearly wanting to find out more. But why are things like this? And what happens if you lose your job? And what happens if, you know, you suddenly find yourself on benefits? It was a lot of, how can that be? I don't believe this. All those kinds of questions people used to ask.
For Catherine McKinnell, there are a range of social policies that provide the answer to these questions, but one in particular stands out.
Newcastle was one of the first areas in the country to see universal credit full service rolled out, and oh my goodness, we saw what a disaster it was for so many families that came to see us that were just left in debt. The delay in the first payment left people really playing catch up and having to try and pay back debts that they'd accrued during that period, and just the amount that's being given is just not enough to meet the rising cost of living. And we know that £20 uplift was given during the pandemic to try and alleviate some of that, and then that's been taken away by the government, even though we know the problem is only getting worse.
Of course, this is a party political issue, with successive Conservative governments rejecting claims that it is their social policies that have led to an increase in food poverty.
Went up 10 times under Labour, so we don't have to take any lectures from them.
These debates are only going to become more intense as fuel prices and other elements of the cost of living begin to increase at an alarming rate for those on low incomes. Food providers everywhere are wondering how they will be able to cope with the demand they will face. So, on a Tuesday, where we've found that there is enough for everyone, it is a great relief to be taking the parcels out to the people who need them.
Looks like they're in. They're used to us coming at this time. Mm. Hello, how are you today? I've just got your food.
So the grateful families have received their food parcels, and I'm left grappling with a fundamental question. How do Christians from the political left, such as Alison and Jacqueline, reconcile the food poverty that they see around them, the biblical instruction to treat those in need as though they were Jesus, and a belief that the state should be providing for fundamental physical requirements in a country as wealthy as the UK? A very clear answer was provided when I asked Jacqueline how she hoped to see the work develop in the future.
My hope and prayer is that we will never need food banks, that food banks will be closed because we actually don't need them, because everybody is being provided for and everybody has food. Until that day, we will provide food.
Thank you to everyone who's interviewed, to Jacqueline and Alison for allowing me to follow them around, and to Jenny Jones who did the reading. And thank you for listening. If you have any questions or comments, please contact me. That's Jamie Harding, and you can find me on the Northumbria University website.